very excited to be here. I just thank you so much for this opportunity that you've brought me here to share God's word with you. I know I'm sounding like I'm very happy, but you know what? No, I really am excited to be here. I did that on purpose. People are going, he doesn't sound very excited. But no, I wanted to say these words to you. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. These are God's promises to us. As you notice that a lot of the passages that were chosen for there had to do with one topic. You know what that was? Fear. We are people of fear, right? We are afraid of the future. We're afraid of what's going to happen when the phone rings. We're afraid when our kids go out the door to get in a car and drive. I can speak to that because my son is starting to drive next week. But what this morning, we're going to talk about this fear. We're going to look at three things. First, we're going to look at what is fear? What does it mean to be afraid? The second is we are going to, what effect does fear play in our relationships and especially in our relationship with God? And the third thing, which is the greatest part about it, is what can God do to help us not to be taken control by fear? So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads as we ask the Lord to be our teacher this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, you are our teacher. Lord, these words that are spoken are from you. Lord, I thank you for these words that you have given me as I've studied this passage and as I've wrestled with it. Lord, I pray that these words that are from my mouth to be from you. Lord, I pray that the movement from my feet and the movement of my hands to be directed by you. Lord, open our hearts and minds to what you want to teach us. Lord, we look for that grace and we look for that peace in our life. And it's only possible through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So we're going to begin with this one question, is what is fear? If I went around this room and I asked you, what is fear? You know that there's going to be a lot of different definitions. Some of you might even say, oh, I know that one. Fear is false evidence appearing real. How many heard that before? No? I'm the only one? Uh-oh. But you know what I find about that? When you're going through something and somebody comes to you and says, oh, don't be afraid. You're like, you're not going through what I'm going through. You don't know. So we're going to look at we're going to look at a positive side and a negative side of fear. The positive side of fear, huh? Really? Before I was called in the ministry, before I was called to the seminary, I was a police officer in Southern California. And one thing about police, oh boy, we are good at fear. We love fear. Because you know why? Because fear keeps people from doing something stupid, doesn't it? Fear of consequences, fear of being jailed, fear of being fined. But you know what? Fear also kept me alive. Because when I was on the streets, and I had that idea, says, it's not safe to go to deal with those 12 guys by myself. That's fear, right? Fear had me wait for backup. So that's good, right? That's positive fear. How about this one? What role does fear play in deciding on whether or not we're going to walk through the alley in a bad part of town in the wee hours of the morning? Does anybody volunteer for that one? No. Why? Because of afraid. You're afraid that you are going to be jumped, mugged, or worse. So that fear keeps us from doing something stupid, right? I can say that I will not drown in a frozen lake. You know why? Because being from Southern California, when I see somebody walking on frozen water, unless I see a car drive on it first, I don't want to walk on there. Because I'm afraid of falling through the ice. So these are good fears. And we also hear of the fear of the Lord, right? What is the fear of the Lord? We're afraid. We don't want to disappoint. We don't want to hurt God. Because God did so much for us, hasn't he? He's blessed us. He has given us his son to die, take our sins. So we don't want to hurt him. But we're also afraid of the consequences. We're consequences of our sin. Unrepented sin, you're lost. So we are afraid of that. But now we're going to look at the other side. We're going to look at the negative side of fear. Okay? When fear is allowed to control you, fear limits your opportunities, doesn't it? You're afraid to step out. You're afraid to go talk to somebody. You're afraid of what God wants to do because it just doesn't seem right. When you allow fear to control you, you stop being the person that God created you to be. We also, when we allow fear to control us, we doubt God, don't we? We begin to doubt his promises. We begin to doubt his words. Did he really mean that? We begin to doubt him. We allow fear to control us. So this morning, we're going to look at a passage. It's a long passage, so I'm going to work through it. I'm going to build up to it, and then we're going to go into the passage, but we're going to focus in this passage. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to encourage you to open them to Exodus 14, beginning at verse 8, okay? But in order to understand this, I've got to give you a background on what's happening here. So if you don't know the Exodus story, I'm going to give you kind of the highlights of it. If you do, you probably can come up here and help me. But the Egyptians took God's people captive. Punished them. Made them slaves. So they cried out to God and said, God, come and save us. So what does God do? God hears and he responds. He raises up a man named Moses and says, you're going to be my spokesperson. You're going to be my ambassador. You're going to go into Egypt and you're going to free my people. But I'm going with you. So Moses, after being very reluctant, and I can understand that because I was very reluctant when God called me to the ministry because I gave him all these other excuses on why I'm not chosen, and he didn't listen. But so he brought Moses, and Moses finally went, but God went with him, and then God got into a 10-round prize fight with the Egyptian gods, right? And he knocked every single one of those gods flat. And those Egyptian gods didn't lay one finger on God. So the Egyptians finally said at the last plague, the death of the firstborn, he says, okay, now you go. Get out of my country. Go. You guys are bad news. Just go. But now this is where we're going to start our story. We're going to start in verse 8 and how the Lord worked. And what we could learn from this passage about fear. Because when I studied this passage, I said, man, we are these people, aren't we? They may have dressed differently. They may have spoke differently. But they have the same hopes, the same dreams, the same fears, the same feelings that we do. So when we read the Exodus story, we are really looking at God speaking to us this morning. So in verse 8 it says, "And the Lord hardened the Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the people of Israel while the people of Israel were going out defiantly. The Egyptians pursued them, all Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and the horsemen and his army, and overtook them, encamped at the sea of Phi-Hahiroth and in front of Baal-Zephon. When Pharaoh drew near," this is all I want you to pick up, "the people, Israel, lifted up their eyes. And you know what they saw? They saw the Egyptians marching after them. And they feared greatly." The Egyptians are marching down with their swords, their chariots, their army. They're vengeful. The Israelites had been following God because God was directing them after they left Egypt by a pillar of a cloud by the day and a pillar of fire by night. So God led them to the edge of the water, the edge of the Red Sea. Standing at the edge of the Red Sea, they're looking at this giant sea here, and they're saying, "We can't cross that." They turn around, they look back and say, "We're going to get crushed." Can you see how they could be greatly afraid? Can you see yourself in that picture? Whatever you're going through, they had to decide right there and then, where are they going to look? Are they going to look at the Egyptian army coming down, or are they going to look at God? Are they going to remember how God delivered them from Egypt? How God, through miraculous miracles, delivered them. Did they remember that? Did they remember how God loved them? No. Because how do we know? Because the Bible tells us so. Like the kids saying. And we pick it up again. This is what they said to Moses. They said to Moses, "It is because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness. What have you done to us bringing us out of Egypt?" They began to play the blame game, didn't they? They got afraid, and they began to blame. "It's not my fault, it's your fault. I didn't want to go, you made me go." They began to blame. When we are afraid, do we begin to blame? Do we blame God for what's happening? "It's your fault I'm in this problem." And then we pick it up again. The second thing that they did. "Is it not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." They gave up, right? They saw the Egyptians. They saw the water. They're stuck in between. They did. They took their eyes off God. And what did they do? They gave up. "Leave us alone. Go away. We would rather be with them than with God." But when we are afraid, we play the blame game. When we're afraid, we take our eyes off God, take our eyes off Jesus, and we give up. Whatever happens, happens. So, the Israelites are on a journey. We are on a journey, are we not? Isn't life a journey? We too are stuck at this water's edge. And now we have to make this choice. We have to decide, where are we going to look? Are we going to look at our problems, at our health? Is that going to be our main focus? Or is it going to be looking at God? Looking what God has done for us, right? We sang about Jesus. Jesus died on the cross for us. That's reason enough to give, to our, put our focus on Jesus, to put our focus on God, is it not? So we're going to have to decide. You're going to have to decide by yourself. But the great thing is God's not going to let us alone, is he? He's not going to allow us. You don't have to make that choice alone, because God is going to be there with you. God's going to help you. God says we don't have to let fear control us. That's good news. That's what it means. Grace and peace from God our Father means we don't have to let fear control us. All we have to do is put our focus on Jesus. With God's help, we could kick fear to the curb, can we not? But I love this part. This is what God says. How can I say that? Because it's in God's word, right? And God's word is true. God's word is inspired. God's word doesn't lie. So when I say, this is what God says, this is what God says. Verse 13, this is God speaking to us today. Those that have fears in their lives, those that are struggling with some doubt, this is God's word to us. Verse 13. And Moses said to the people, if you like to underline your Bible, underline this verse, because this is a beautiful verse. Fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work in you today. Do you realize the first thing that God says is, fear not? The God in the Genesis that created the heavens and the earth tells us, the church, fear not. In fact, it says it about 103 times. I looked it up, 103 times that he makes a mention in this entire Bible not to be afraid, to fear not. And if he says it that many times, do you think he means it? I do. I would bet my life on it. But he also does one other thing too. He provides examples in his scripture. He provides examples that we here today can open up our Bibles and we could read and see this command to fear not in action. The first, we know the story of David and Goliath, right? We teach that in Sunday school and Vacation Bible School. David being this tall, being the small guy, and Goliath being a lot taller and more equipped and more trained. But God told David through Deuteronomy is, be strong and courageous. So David took that to heart, and he was not afraid of Goliath, because he knew that the battle belonged to the Lord. So we know that today. The battle belongs to the Lord. Whatever we're going through, the battle belongs to the Lord. See, God is making this promise to us today. Fear not. These words are to us. Fear not. The second thing I want you to underline is stand firm. What does it mean to stand firm? Well, we know what stand means. What's the opposite of stand? Sit. And that's the picture that I had, is when I thought about these Israelites and how they doubted God, I could see them sitting down. I could see them sitting down saying, that's it, we're done. Here comes the Egyptians, they're going to crush us and we're done. So he says, no, stand. Stand firm. Firm grip. Hold that grip. Stand firm means to be solid, unchanging. We stand firm on who God is, right? We stand firm on the attributes of God. The attribute is that God is all-powerful. If you thought about God being all-powerful, it means there is no limit. There is no ceiling where God is restricted. God measures himself by himself. And the next thing, God is all knowledgeable, all wisdom. Again, he knows everything. There's no surprises for him. God doesn't learn. There is no learning curve on God. He already knows. Also, that God is love. We read in our passage, God is love. Do you realize the kind of love that God has? None of us can even fathom that. This love that he has, again, is measured through him, so there is no standard that he lives by. It's him. But God is never changing. And that's good news for us, because if he was changing, we'd all be in trouble, wouldn't we? I'd be in trouble. But that means that God's love never changes. He loves us just as much when we do something wrong. His love doesn't leave us, because he sent his son to die on the cross for us. The next thing we stand firm on is the cross of Jesus. Amen. Think about this. We know about storms, right? We know about tornadoes and hurricanes. And if you knew that a tornado or a hurricane was bearing down on you, and you had two opportunities, you either could run to the cardboard house, or you could run to the cement bunker with the foundation 6 feet into the ground. Which one would you go to? Nobody would go to the cardboard box, right? But people do, right? People are choosing today to find their foundation in something that's going to be blown away. But we know to stand firm on the cross. In our storms, we find our shelter at the foot of the cross. At the foot of the cross, we find that peace that we're so desperately looking for. At the foot of the cross, we can rest in Jesus. Peace and fear, they can't live in the same house together, can they? Can you have peace and be afraid? No, they don't live in the same house. There's a great parallel in here that I want to focus on. We're going to go here. It says, for the Egyptians to whom you see today will never be seen again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. And this is the Lord speaking to Moses in verse 15. Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward, lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. There's a parallel here that I want you to really focus on. God tells Moses, raise your hands up and your people will be delivered through the Red Sea. He He also tells his son, Jesus, raise your hands up. Allow sinful men to nail you to the cross. Allow sinful men to ridicule you. That's our foundation in Jesus. That's our peace in Jesus, that Jesus died on that cross. He took our sins upon himself. Nobody forced them on him. But he took them upon himself and died on the cross for us. Jesus drives out fear, like we read in the scripture passage. Jesus drives out fear. Through the cross, we have salvation. And Jesus drives out fear. So what do we have to be afraid about? When we focus and we put our eyes on Jesus, what do we have to be afraid about? We have a God who loves us. We have a God who provides for us. And we have a God who fights for us. We don't have to be afraid. Just as the Israelites were stuck between the water and the sword, and they made their choice to focus on the army and the water. When we, in that same situation, whatever we're going through, if we put our focus on the cross of Jesus, we will be the people that God created us to be. We will be people alive in Christ. We will be a church eager to go share the gospel. We'll be a church eager to go out and bring the people to fill the pews. This is a promise from the Lord. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll bow your heads with me. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this promise that you've given us. Lord, only you know what is going through our hearts this morning. Lord, I pray that this word that is spoken, that will be soothing to the tormented soul. Lord, I pray that you will use this message to minister to those. Lord, you will use this message for us to minister to others that we know that are struggling. Lord, how can we lose when we're on your side? Lord, even when we go through the waters and even when we go through the fire, which you say we're going to, the waters aren't going to take us over. The fires are not going to consume us. But it's not because of what we do. It's because of what you did. You sent your son, Jesus, to die for us. Lord, that's what it means when it says that you are love. We thank you for that love. In your precious and holy name, amen.